guys. Welcome to episode 35 of the Atlas Podcast. My name is Emma Loggins, editor-in-chief at fanbolt.com.
My name is Jakai Mickelson, a creative designer person and independent filmmaker.
I always look forward to your description of yourself every week.
I know. The moment before every week, I'm like, what am I going to say? I need, an official go-to. I sound like I'm just, drifting in the wind. I'm Jakai Drifter.
You should just, pick a different profession each week and just go with it.
Yeah.
So we have a good show this week. We have one more from Gilmore Girls with Milo Ventimiglia from FanFest, which took place the weekend before Thanksgiving in Atlanta. And then some box office goodness, and then a few teases, and then that's it. So, nice little concise show.
Nice. I love describing, a show at the front end of it. And we're like, this one, it's got some stuff. There's some things here. So, you should be listening to it.
Yes, exactly. That's why. It's our index for our podcast.
Yes.
But so let's talk about last week. The last time we recorded, I had just gotten to Nashville with Ming and Krista we drove up the Kia Optima, the 2017 version, which had all the bells and whistles on it. And for those of you that know Krista, know about our Scotland adventure of, wrecking the car, her adventure of wrecking our car.
Well done. Distance yourself from any guilt.
Exactly. I was not involved in any of the car accidents that happened in Scotland. It was funny because everyone that saw the pictures, I got so many texts that were like, why are you letting her drive? But everything went really well. We didn't have any problems with the car. I'm in love with that car. And I'm hoping that I get one for a couple of weeks or months to kind of test drive, because it's hard to go back from a car like that back into my 96 RAV. I got back in it yesterday and drove it for the first time since getting back from the trip. And I was just like, oh, this is what I'm missing. there's no seat coolers in this car.
No, it is. I have kind of purposely not driven other cars almost for that same thing. But I will admit there's been a few times when I've driven new cars. I obviously haven't driven this Kia you're talking about, but there's times I've driven new cars and then gotten back into mine. And it's like, here's my favorite comfortable hoodie. Just, I have such a long storied history with it. I'm not ready to let go yet.
Yeah, that's kind of the page I'm on. It's, my RAV is the first car that I've ever had. I've had it since I was 16. I took my driver's test in it, and it's such a sentimental attachment that I don't want to let go of it. But then at the same time, when you see what you're missing, it's like, oh God, I could have all of this stuff. My radio player, which is I had a cassette deck in my car, which I then ended up replacing for a CD player back in the early 2000s, and it goes out whenever I go over a bump in the road. Right. And I have to pull off the plate and then push it back in and reset the power and all of that. So it's just little things that people in these new cars take for granted.
Well, there's one thing that also that I love that I have difficulty heading back towards, and that's a car payment.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I actually just recently got a new car stereo system for the head unit that's got Bluetooth and everything, just so I could pretend like I was in a newer car, and it was only $150. Not that I'm seriously, the Kia thing sounds amazing. I'm all for new goodness. But I've already kind of decided when we get a new car, Mandy's got a little tiny Yaris, which is it looks like a robot foot. It seriously looks like a robot foot. And we already know, especially now with the kid, because it's only a little two-door hatchback, that's the car that we're going to upgrade. And that's where I'm going to throw all the bells and whistles, because I still like the utility of my 4Runner.
Right.
But again, it is total. We've got a nephew who just turned. He was born May 5th, 2001. And it wasn't a big deal when he was a kid. But now that he's grown up and you look at him and I realize that my car is 2 years older than him, I'm like, yeah, my car's getting pretty old.
Yep. You should just set yourself the goal that I have, which is driving it until you get the antique license plates on it.
Nice. I think that's a good goal.
Because how funny is that going to be when I'm driving around my RAV and I have antique license tags on it? It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But that being said, if they give me a Kia to drive around for a while, I'm totally doing that.
I listen, if anybody gave me anything, there's a pretty good chance I'd drive it around for a couple weeks.
Exactly. But yeah, it was also the first time that I had been to Nashville in my adulthood. And I don't think I realized how cool that city is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that city, you can go pretty big in that city from what I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, we were there. We kind of explored downtown Nashville on Tuesday night and, you know, Tuesday before a big holiday, so it was kind of quiet, but there was still like a live band in every bar. And God, the food was so good. We ate at some really awesome restaurants. I think the one on Tuesday night we ate at was called The Merchant. And I can't remember the name of the one on the first night. I'll have to look it back up. But we got to go around to a couple bars. Ming took Krista and I to a speakeasy. And it was just it was a good time. It was a good trip. It was a nice little, you know, getaway from the normal daily routine and have a little vacation before the holiday. So
yeah,
it sounds like
it was actually like a fun time versus tons of logistics and interviews to prepare for, which is probably a nice switcheroo for you.
It is. And, you know, usually when we go on these trips, we have a lot of requirements from the brand that they give us that we have to fulfill, whether it's, you know, so many social media posts, so many tweets, Instagrams, whatever. And then they want, you know, so many articles written up about it. And we have literally no requirements for this trip. They're like, whatever you want to do, it's great. But there's no pressure on you to do anything or produce a certain amount of content. So of course I'm still going to do a write up on it, and I did some Instagrams and a lot of Insta stories, and tweets and stuff. But, that was so nice to not have that pressure of, okay, I've got to make sure that I have something up by like a certain time, you know, each day.
Right.
It was really nice. And I think the trip and all of the things that they spoiled us with has now convinced Ming to start a blog. So we may be seeing a blog from Ming in the future, which we're hoping he's going to call the Ming Dynasty. So
or he could call it Everybody Ming Chen tonight. It doesn't quite work the same.
I'll let him know that suggestion, though. That's a good one. But yeah, so that was kind of Nashville. And then got back Wednesday and went right into Thanksgiving. And I feel like all of my Thanksgiving stories are really going to have to do with Gilmore Girls. So what did you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, we ended up just staying low key. I mean, what was originally going to happen, my mom was going to come visit, and she's in Missouri, but at the last second she couldn't just because of a weird heater thing in her home, which was kind of a bummer. So we just moved to this new neighborhood, and we were invited to a neighbor's house for Thanksgiving, which ended up being delightful for me.
Nice.
So myself. And actually, and the neighbor turns out to be Patty Davis, who was one of the original co-founders of Atlanta Movie Tours. So that was it was a nice bonus. But yeah, we took the kiddo, it's me, my dad who's still in town, and Mandy went over and enjoyed some delightful food.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then somebody gave me a car. Nope, that last part didn't happen. I just want to be more like you, Emma.
That would have been awesome end to your Thanksgiving had that happened. That would have definitely been something to give thanks for.
Yeah. Well, my rule typically is I only like to digest food, especially when I've eaten a lot of it, in a new car that has blind detection features.
There you go. That's a
blind spot detection. Blind detection features would probably be a slightly different category.
That is really cool on cars, by the way, when they, like, it beeps at you and someone's in your blind spot. Like, it's another thing I didn't even know existed on cars.
It really never
Super
annoyed
cool.
you? I feel like sometimes there's a certain tone of beep that, like, actually my father-in-law has a car that when you go in reverse, it just beeps and then beeps louder when you get close to something, but it's a steady beep no matter what, and I guess that's a safety feature. But for me, it's a little bit of an aggro feature.
The beeping feature that really kind of like bugged me was when I would come close to like the white line or something, because I never drive. I guess I've learned after this trip, I don't drive in the center of the lane. Especially when I'm like passing like an 18 wheeler, I'll start to hug, you know, like the left side of the lane that I'm in, just because they always are hugging the left side of the lane they're in. And then it's just like beeping the entire time I'm passing like the 18 wheeler. So that's the only thing that I was like, I wish I could turn this off. But the actual passing feature I did find kind of interesting because I've never not had to like quickly turn around. So being able to see the little light in my mirror and the little dinging noise that something was there, like it would be really easy to just like start trusting that entirely. And it's like it, with Krista, she doesn't know how to parallel park now without a video camera in the car showing her what. And I'm like, this is so weird to me because I still, you know, obviously don't have this functionality in my RAV. So I'm still doing it the old school way.
Like turning your head like these Neanderthal peasants. Who
exactly.
even does that? Yeah. I have to ask this question. Is your RAV4 a manual transmission?
No, it's automatic.
Okay. I was about
thank
to be,
God.
No, yeah, my old 4Runner is still a manual, so I was about to just be like, blown away, because, yeah, you don't strike me as a manual transmission driving person. But
nope.
You've been full of many surprises, so.
Definitely not one of the skill sets that I have. Yeah. But yeah, so for Thanksgiving, this is the kind of crazy story, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, how long I was up between Thanksgiving and Black Friday because of everything with Gilmore Girls. So I woke up at like 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning, and then, you know, was still awake when Gilmore Girls, of course, premiered on Netflix at 3 a.m. because it premieres at midnight Pacific Coast time. So if you're ever wanting to binge something on Netflix and you're oh my God, it's, you know, it's midnight. No, it's got to be midnight West Coast time. So that was intense. So at 3 a.m. when I started watching Gilmore Girls, two of my friends, Danielle and Alex, came over and we had, you know, the whole traditional Gilmore Girls junk food spread. We made lots of coffee and we powered through 6 hours of Gilmore Girls. And I was live tweeting the last two episodes of it for Up Channel, and because they had just finished a big Gilmore Girls marathon over the last week of all of the seasons that aired on WB and CW. So anyways, the show ended, and I finished the live tweeting and all of that, and at this point at 9 a.m., the sun's up, obviously, and I've had so much coffee that, like, sleep is not even something I'm capable of doing. Like, I'm so exhausted, but I just can't sleep. And I tried. I, like, laid there on my couch, like, with my eyes closed, like, trying to sleep. And then I went back to my bed and tried to sleep, and, like, I just couldn't do it. So, you know, 9 o'clock rolls around on Black Friday night. I'm still wide awake and I decide to, you know, open a bottle of wine and order a pizza to try to put myself into a food coma to then hopefully go to sleep because I'm like that level of tiredness where you just feel like you're drunk.
Yeah.
Like you're just delusional.
You may as well get drunk at that level.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I was like, well, surely this will work. And so I did that, and I fell asleep for 30 minutes, and then I woke back up, and I was just like, oh my God, is this ever going to end? So I did a bunch of Black Friday shopping, which on Saturday morning, I realized I didn't even remember what I had ordered because I was so, like, out of it. I had no idea today still where I put my laptop because for some reason I put it in my sock drawer of my dresser that night before I went to bed, which eventually happened at 2 a.m. Friday night, which I guess would have been Saturday morning. So I was up for like almost, oh my God, I can't even still do the math of like how much time I was actually awake for. It was, you know, a couple little naps here and there, but like, oh my God, I've never had something that has kept me awake for that long. And so I haven't had like any coffee the last few days. I'm just trying to get like my system like back to normal.
Yeah.
But I feel like anyone, there was a lot of people that were actually binging Gilmore Girls as it was released. So there's a lot of people that are in this boat with me, I'm sure, still feeling the effects of it. But I can say that I saw it in real time, and I finally, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, the last four words of the series was something that was so highly anticipated by fans, and now that we know what they are and we know what they imply, there's a lot of fans that are not so happy about it, myself included. And I don't want to give any spoilers or anything because I feel like people are probably still making their way through it. But maybe in a couple more weeks we can talk about it. But, yeah, I thought it was great. I loved how they did everything. I loved how, especially the last of the four episodes, really took it from something that was a young adult show and how it felt on, you know, WB back in the day and CW. It felt like a very young adult show, but the themes that they really attacked in this kind of revival were so adult and so real that it just felt almost outside of the Gilmore Girls universe. It seemed so real and something so relatable. And you see these characters, you know, that are damaged, right, and trying to find their way back to being okay again and to being happy again. And I thought they did such a beautiful job with it. It's just the final four words implied something that I wasn't a huge fan of. Not so much what it actually meant, but you know, people hearing this that know what I'm talking about will know what I'm saying. But
were the last four words "I have to poop"?
No, they were not.
It was worth a shot. Worth a shot.
Had nothing to do with pooping.
Well, now that it's an adult show, I just thought maybe it would go from the Gilmore Girls to the Gilmore Women, and you know, at a certain point in every woman's life, they admit, I don't really know where I'm going with this. I'm going to stop talking and go back to you now.
I mean, that is I guess a more adult theme to talk about pooping. I don't know. I don't know either. I'm still delusional. I don't know where to go from there.
No, it's the best thing about it is I try to shut it down, but you're such a good co-host that you like try to like bring it around and make it okay again. That's why you're the best.
Your back.
Yeah. From an adult perspective, I just, that sentence of like, from an adult perspective, I guess pooping, it's just the pop of the peas after you say adult perspective and then to follow it up with poop. I don't know. It's fun.
It is. It's
maybe
fun.
The Gregory brothers can take that last bit of audio and turn it into a great song.
I feel like that's doable.
Yeah.
Well, on the Gilmore Girls note, you know, last week we had our interview with Sean Gunn, who played Kirk on the series and actually had a pretty big role in the revival. He was in all of the episodes a fair amount, which was kind of surprising in comparison to how much he was in the original series run, which I loved. He was fantastic in it. But we also got the chance to sit down with Milo Ventimiglia, who played Jess on the series, and he makes an appearance in the revival as well. And one of the things that I wanted to ask him, which, you know, of course, everyone immediately was asking after they saw these four episodes, was, is there the potential for more? You know, no one's really right, content with how, even if you like how the series ended, there's definitely the potential for more story to be told there. You know, it's the Gilmore Girls world is not done with these four episodes for the fans. So that was one of the questions I asked Milo when I interviewed him at FanFest a couple of weeks ago. And we can play that interview now with Milo Ventimiglia.
Who had a healthy poop before this interview.
So we're going to talk all Gilmore Girls.
Okay, cool. I can do that.
All right. Super excited.
For next week. I know, right? You're almost there.
Almost there. So I was actually at the reunion in Austin.
Okay.
And I have to imagine that's kind of where all of this started from. Or how did the idea of doing a revival actually come to be? Was it Amy?
It was Amy, as I understand it. I think Amy always wanted to, as I understand it, she always wanted to revisit the ending of
right.
Gilmore. And she wanted to, you know, bring back to life these characters that I think everybody fell in love with. And I know there was, you know, more a fan reaching out of, hey, we want this. But I think it was always in the back of Amy's mind to want to, you know, tell the end of Lorelai and Rory's story the way she wanted to.
Right.
So I think a lot of it came from her want to bring this back and to put, you know, this crazy cast of characters all together again. And I think it's great. I'm excited for the fans and for the audience. I think they're really going to love what we all cooked up.
Awesome. The kind of fandom around this is almost kind of mimics like something in the genre space, like something superhero horror. What is it about Gilmore Girls that you think resonates so much with fans and kind of creates this crazy fandom?
You know, I think it's something people can relate to. I think, you know, I get a lot of fans walking up to me saying, oh, my daughter, oh, my mom, oh, I dated a bad boy, or this, that, and the other. I think it's something that people can connect to with their own lives. It's not quite wish fulfillment like a lot of superhero genre stuff is. It's a little more tapped into real life.
Right.
And tapped into this idea that they're human stories and people that are connected. And I think that's something that keeps the show very much alive. And it's, you know, it stands on its own. It's got, you know, the witty banner and the stories and these characters, but also there's so much heart within the context of the show,
right,
within all the zaniness that happens, that I think it keeps it relevant today, even though we finished filming it years ago.
Right, right. What can you kind of say about Jess's story, where he is now? Did it surprise you?
I mean, I thought, you know, when Jess finished his stint in Stars Hollow, I thought, you know, who he was at the time. He'd grown up. He'd learned a lot of lessons. He still had, you know, his heart, but he'd kind of tamed down this idea of his intellect pushing the limits of you know, at the expense of someone else.
Right.
So when it came back and Amy told me what she and Dan had cooked up and what they were looking to do, I thought it was a great way to bring Jess back into the world of Gilmore Girls and kind of instigate some people in certain ways to get moving on the path of their lives.
Right, right. Now, I know you probably can't say a whole lot about the final four words, although, like, every fan is dying to know what they're going to be. When you read the script and you read them, what was your thoughts on them? Were you surprised? Were you like, oh, that's perfect? Was it what you thought it would be?
I mean, years ago, Amy, I asked her, I said, so what were these big famed words? This is like before it became something that was talked about. And I asked her, I just said, you know, what were they? And she told me. And so I knew. And she didn't swear me to secrecy or anything like that. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. So I think it's going to be an exciting moment, I think, for fans to discover something. It's like you know that piece of gold is in that rock. You just have to crack it open.
Right.
You know that diamond is in that little lump of coal. You just got to crack it open. I think watching the show, you're going to crack it open. You're going to find that moment where you understand, you know, the closing of the story. And you know, it's I think it's beautiful and exciting.
Awesome. Well, I feel like the question everyone's going to have on Friday is going to be, is it possible ever to do more, or is this it? Is the book closed? What do you think?
I mean,
is there a possibility?
I think whatever Amy and the studio and the network decide, I mean, you know, I remain very close to Amy and Dan, Amy Sherman Palladino and Dan Palladino, once the show ended. So to go back would just be to speak their words again. For me as an artist, that's the most important.
Right.
And like the honor of being in company of great writers like them. So if they did more, like, I'd go back. If they didn't, I'd be perfectly happy to.
Well, fingers crossed. So I'm Team Jess, okay, by the way. So I'm on your side. My best friend's Team Logan, and I've been trying to convince her for 10 years that she's wrong. So I want your help.
Well, but I go back to, you know, the whole thing is like, you know, I feel like everybody kind of gives Rory a pass. So they're, you know, Team Jess or Team Dean or Team Logan. But you got to wonder, are any three of these guys Team Rory?
That's a good point.
It's a really interesting question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's like, everybody thinks that, you know, Jess is the one or Logan is the one, but is she the one for either of those guys?
Right.
You know, it kind of like spins the whole concept on its head.
Right.
You know, somebody the other day, they said something about like, oh, Dean, he cheated on his wife and lost virginity. I said, and this was something that I hadn't recalled because it had been so long. I said, wait, but with who? He goes, and they said, with Rory. I said, why aren't you mad at Rory?
Yeah.
I said, she's part and responsible to that too. So
sure.
Isn't... Why does she get absolved of everything, you know?
That's true.
So, I don't know. I look at individuals, I'm like, man, I love Jared Padalecki, and I love Maddie, and Alexis is really damn cool. So it's kind of like, well, I think they're all great, so I'm team everyone.
Fair enough.
Very
PC answer.
Yeah. Not even PC, it's just kind of, I guess. I don't know.
It's a sweet answer. What has been your favorite fan moment in relation to the show?
I go back to when I first joined the show and my first few episodes started to come out. I was walking out of a restaurant. Some girl stopped me and said, "Excuse me, are you Milo Ventimiglia?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You played Jess on Gilmore." I said, "Yeah, I am." She goes, "Wow, I fucking hate you." I think because the character was such a jerk in the early days and she had such affinity toward Rory that she just hated me. And then she walked away. And I thought, like, wow, I guess I did my job then.
You did. You resonated with her.
Yeah, I did.
So we're FanFest, by the fans, for the fans. And recently, in devotion of my love for Gilmore Girls, I stood in line for 2 hours for free coffee at the Luke's pop-up shop.
Which one? What city?
Here.
You were here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
no way.
Coffee shops.
You stood in line for 2 hours to get the same cup of coffee. You just had a little sleeve on it. Wow, did you actually use the sleeve or like took the sleeve off? Like that's going in a bag in a box somewhere, gonna get signed by someone sometime.
Still have it.
Got it.
If you
bring it tomorrow, I'll sign it. Literally just walk up, be like, "Hey, Mike," be like, "Hey, what's up?"
I will do that.
Perfect.
Thank you. So I have to ask, what are you passionate about in those regards? What do you geek out over? What are you a fan of?
Oh man. Usually a lot of writers. There's a book that I'd read, or a script that I'd read, or photographers. I'm kind of like a geek out on like photographers and artists, but also like other actors. You know, there's people that I watch and I can be a fan too. And, you know, anyone from like my upbringing of like the older guard of actors, you know, Robert De Niro, or, you know, Marlon Brando's, Montgomery Clift, you know, to like Dennis Hopper, and then you start like kind of like ticking down, you know, like Denzel Washington and all these other actors, and it's just kind of, you know, guys like that, you know. But then there's like guys that are young that I look up to all the time, like Robin Lord Taylor, who's here at the show, who plays the Penguin on Gotham. It's like, dude, he is a phenomenal actor, but he's also like a really kind human being. So I don't know, I geek out on a lot. Nothing's really like particularly coming to mind though.
Those are good answers, though.
Maybe motorcycles, too. Like, motorcycles. I see, like, a motorcycle go by. I'm like, oh, that's rad. You know, I see a camera. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That shoots really great photos, you know, things like that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much.
Definitely.
So there you go. There's Milo talking about the Gilmore Girls reboot. I did find it interesting that he told, or that Amy Sherman-Palladino, the series creator, actually told him the final four words a few years back before, you know, this series with Netflix was ever a possibility, which I'm also kind of like, what the heck, man? Because she didn't swear him to secrecy, but I know she's done interviews where people have asked her about those final four words and she would never say them. So I'm glad that we know them now. I just wish they were something else.
I'm trying to think of another different four words. I'm going to let that game go. I'm going to let it go.
But yeah, so Milo said that, you know, if there's more that comes from this, that, you know, there's definitely the possibility for it. Doesn't sound like it's been discussed at all, but I'm sure that the Netflix numbers have been amazing. I'd be shocked if they weren't anything but amazing. It's been trending on Facebook and Twitter,
right?
You know, since it premiered. So I'm sure it's something that Netflix is going to ask. The question's just going to be, you know, does Amy want to do it? And does she feel like there's more that can be done there that doesn't sacrifice the quality of how they've wrapped things up?
Well, that's always the challenge. Like, people want more, and then they want more, and then they complain when it's not up to snuff.
Exactly.
It's a very difficult balance. I mean, I think if there's more story to tell, go ahead and do it.
Right.
Obviously. But sometimes I think it's just... good to walk away and let the thing be the thing it was, you know?
I completely agree. I mean, you look at Breaking Bad and what a great series that was. And there was never, you know, with so many of these series, like Supernatural, for example, you had Eric Kripke who did the first 5 seasons, and that's all he had planned to do. He had a full story that wrapped itself up at the end of season 5.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, this series is doing amazing for us. It's great ratings. You know, we have all these advertisers. We want to keep going with it. And then, of course, Kripke left the show because he had told his story. And then you had some really bad seasons in there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you run into when you try to take a show beyond the original game plan. Just because it's successful, I don't think means that you should do that. If you have a story to tell, tell it the way you intended to tell it. And then when it's done, you've just got to let it be done. Fans are always going to want more, but you can't sacrifice the quality of the story.
I have a weird rule. Just apply it to my personal life. And when I was a kid, I would like do something funny, right? And then somebody else would see it and be like, do it again. And then I wouldn't, and then I'd do it again. And then the second time you do the thing that was funny the first time, it's way less funny.
Yeah.
So me and my stepbrother totally have this rule of we don't do sequels. If we do it once and it hit good, that's where it's got to live, and we're never going to go back to it. Because right. There's been times when I've actually done the sequel and then I've felt so dumb about doing it again because it felt like a horribly lame impression of what was already good. So I would imagine that is how it would be at a certain point when you've just got no more story to tell. You feel like it's already been good.
Right.
Like, no, that's the tentpole already. I mean, it's kind of weird that, like, especially in the context of something like the Gilmore Girls, when the, quote, best is behind you. But sometimes that was it. That was the moment. And Netflix, I mean, good for them. They gave you four more.
Well, I think what makes Gilmore Girls the exception here is that Amy Sherman-Palladino didn't do the final season of Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
So she wasn't involved with the writing of that, the creative decisions of that. The final four words that were supposed to be the end of the series were not the end of that season. And a lot of fans were not happy with, you know, where the characters went, who they became, how things ended. And so this was having the chance for her to come back. It's something that the fans, you know, any fan of the series that has watched it all the way through will tell you how different the end of that series feels from what Amy created with the, you know, the first however many seasons. So having her be able to come back and finish the series the way she wanted to is what I think makes this work in the sense that it's not exactly a sequel. We're actually getting the ending, although I'm sure it's been, you know, we're 10 years down the line from where we were when we last saw the characters, or 9 years down the road. So it's a little bit different, I'm sure, than how she imagined it, but it's still her getting to tweak the original ending that she wanted for the series. So it feels like a complete package and not like a sequel.
No. That makes complete sense. Like if what's interesting is that means that she never really kind of wrapped it up the way she wanted to. So she had a rare opportunity to do so. So that's really cool, actually. From a fully admitted Gilmore Girls outsider perspective, that's really cool for the creator to be able to come back and button it up the way she wanted.
Yeah, it really is. And you should watch it and just binge it. Binge like all seven seasons and then binge Netflix and then just binge all of it. It's, you know what? I've never met a guy that has watched it and hasn't loved it. I think there's the perception that because it's Gilmore Girls, it's a girly show, and that couldn't be further from the case.
Well, what's interesting is this is such a lame thing to admit, but Sean Gunn, when I realized, oh, wait a minute, he's got the same last name. Oh, my gosh, that is the brother of the director of Guardians of the Galaxy and other films I'm a huge fan of, James Gunn. Yeah. So that was that somehow I'm like, oh, well, if a gun's in it, it can't be that bad. and honestly, no joke. Like the fact that like you're excited to have a paper coffee cup that you waited like 23 hours in line for.
Yeah.
Like, all right. So this isn't just a show that was pretty good. This is either a really good show or we've got to get Emma some help.
Maybe a little bit of both. Yeah. I don't know. I still can't believe I did that.
Fair enough.
And of course, you know, I talked about that in the interview with Milo, and he did actually sign my cup for me. I brought it the next day to the convention, and he signed it for me.
So nice.
Got my little Team Jess cup that I'll never throw away because I suffered for that cup in the cold for 2 hours waiting for it.
While not going to the gym, I might add.
And not going to the gym.
I remember think that very was well. Yeah.
That was less suffering. That was kind of a perk of standing in line for the coffee. But moving right along, the box office kind of surprised me this weekend. I thought Fantastic Beasts was going to hang on to that top spot. And Mona Disney's newest animated film actually debuted in first with $81.1 million and beat out early estimates for the film, which were set at $75 million. So that was pretty good. It fell short of Frozen's opening in 2013, but still did a great job and outperformed the estimates. So Disney's pretty happy with it. And then, of course, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them came in second with $65.8 million. And falling to third was Doctor Strange, which brought in $18.9 million, which brings its total domestic gross to $206 million. And debuting in fourth was the new Brad Pitt film, Allied, which brought in $12.7 million. I'm not sure how happy they are with that, because that one had an $85 million production budget. But that's a tough weekend. And I think there's some award season buzz around Allied from what I've seen online. I actually haven't talked to anyone here locally that's seen it yet. But $12.7 million for an opening weekend, $85 million production budget, doesn't sound great to me, but yeah. Maybe it'll do better sticking around. And then, of course, still holding on to the in the top five is Arrival, which brought in $11.4 million this week, and that's now been out for 3 weeks. So I'm glad that that's still sticking around, because like I said, I feel like it kind of just got lost in the November movies, especially with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But such a great film, and such one that everyone should see. It's just a fantastic film that really sticks with you after you see it.
Shockingly, Bad Santa 2 finished out of the top five, because that was a sequel everybody was dying for.
I don't even know if we had a screener for that one. Yeah. We might have. I might have just missed it. But we have a bunch of stuff coming up. I actually signed up for another La La Land screening, even though I've already seen it once. I'm like, and then my friend Matt actually has the screener for, because he votes in the Academy Awards, so he's able to, you know, get all these screeners sent to him. So I was like, we should watch it again. I'm just going to see how many times I can watch La La Land before the end of the year.
Nice.
I'm going to keep teasing the review for that one. I thought it actually came out December 9th, and it might in New York and LA, but I don't think it comes out in Atlanta until December 16th. So, got to wait even longer for it.
We're all going to have to move out of the city.
Yeah, so you're all going to have to go
straw.
To New York and LA and just see it on December 9th. such a good movie. I can't get over it. But we should have some good screeners coming up here pretty soon. I too have started to get screeners. Not that I don't vote in the Oscars, but I vote in the Georgia Film Critics Association, and so I'm still sitting here with my sausage party screener, because that's up for some awards.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
What is that going to be nominated for?
I'm sure it'll be nominated in best animated category, but I'm
best
sure
visual
that...
vagina penis puns. It's a shoo-in for that.
It's a shoo-in for that. Yeah, it's definitely got that one. But I'm sure that Finding Dory, you know, as well as it did this summer, I can't imagine it not taking Best Animated Picture. Or Mona. I don't know. I haven't seen Mona. But it looks like it did pretty well. So yeah, that's our movie recap for the week. We don't actually have any film reviews for this week, because I didn't see anything last week. And I'm not seeing anything this week, but I am seeing tonight. I'm actually going to see A Christmas Story, the musical at the Fox. But by the time we review that on this podcast, it will have left the Fox. So for people in other cities that it may be coming to, hopefully our review can shed some light on it for you.
There you go. It'll be good. But I did want to, on the Seth Rogen path we were on a second ago, I stumbled upon the night before on, I think it was HBO, I stumbled upon it. And maybe it was just a matter of like timing with the holidays and everything coming up, and with what Mandy and I went through having our kiddo. It was, I must admit, I was laughing heartily. I just turned it on to kind of fold laundry. That's my thing. I'll turn something on the TV and fold laundry, which is very masculine. But I'm a very good T-shirt folder. Sort of my hidden talents. But
it's a good
not
talent
hidden
to have.
Yeah.
Very. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows. So, but yeah. The night before ended up being a really good time.
I actually am pulling up my review on it now from, because I saw it last year and they filmed parts of that in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was, I'm not sure what, I know they came back like in October before it came out in like November and did a couple of really quick reshoots. So I'm not sure what scenes they were. I want to say they were like some of the car scenes that happened like outside on the street.
That would totally make sense. The film takes place in New York, but that would totally make sense. I didn't have that that hat on while watching it, but I bet if I would have paid more attention, would have seen some spots.
Yeah, I would assume downtown area. I gave it a B minus.
Okay, so that's exactly where I would play. Again, it's not a great film, but for whatever reason, it hit the sweet spot for the night and for honestly, it's the hardest I've ever laughed at Seth Rogen. Period.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This Is the End is still probably my favorite movie with him in it.
Really?
I liked it. I really did. It was such a weird movie.
I love the way it started. I felt like it just kind of went off the rails.
Went off the rails. Yeah.
But I did love the way it started. I love that everybody was so willing to make so much of themselves. Michael Cera, of course, stole the show in that one, in my humble opinion. But I don't know. Night Before. It's worth watching on the HBOs if you've got it.
Yeah, for those people that aren't familiar with it, it's the usual Seth Rogen stoner type of, I guess, comedy in the sense that it's the same sense of humor. Basically, three friends that were childhood friends meet up and go out on Christmas Eve through their yearly ritual of holiday debauchery for one last time, because I think one of them's getting ready to have a kid, right?
That's Seth Rogen, and I think part of the reason I identified with it so much, because all the stuff we went through leading up to Zach's being a thing that existed.
So it's kind of like one final hurrah before the baby comes.
Yep.
I loved and I'm remembering now that I'm looking back through this review. Michael Shannon was awesome. His drug dealer, Mr. Green.
Yeah.
That part of it was great. And I noted that there was a great James Franco cameo as well, but I don't know what that was. But I apparently liked it when I saw it.
Well, that's good. I was actually gonna like a B minus. I'd put it in that same. It's definitely it's not a. You don't leave the movie better than you were before going into it. But it entertained me, so I just thought I'd throw that out there on this Atlas Light episode.
It's a good holiday comedy too. So it's got a holiday theme to it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And Run-DMC, Christmas in Hollis plays a little bit of a role in it, which is pretty much my favorite Christmas song of all time. So that was nice also.
Yeah. Nice little holiday film. That's it for us this week. So that was kind of like a mini film review.
It was. It kind of was. So, to be fair, just to go the distance, I'd give it an Atla. I'd give it a 3. I'd give it a 3.5, actually.
Okay. Yeah, 3.5. Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah. I can get behind that.
Just for the kind of movie it is, right?
It's good for what it is.
Exactly.
That is all I have for this week. I can't tell you if A Christmas Story, the musical, will be good or not, but it is playing at the Fox as of when you hear this, this podcast. Unless you hear it next week, then it will no longer be playing. But, as of tonight, November 29th, it's premiering at the Fox. So check that out if you're looking for something Christmas-related to do in the city. I'm sure it'll be good. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week.
Boom. And
boom. Do you have anything else?
No. No, just these last four words.
I feel like we need good final four words. I feel like they should really have something to do with poop.
No, I'm going to throw up. Come on, that was so long ago. Jeez, that was in our youth.
We're so mature now.
Yeah. Have a lovely day. Those are four. You know the worst part is I have to count them out on my fingers to make sure I'm not accidentally going to five words. It's so sad.
That is sad. That's another fun part of being old, though. That comes with our maturity and our age.
Being able to count on our fingers?
Maybe not. I'm still delusional from Gilmore Girls. Don't judge me.
By the way, let's circle around to that. You found your laptop in your sock drawer.
Yeah.
How? Were you looking for socks or were you actually looking for the laptop?
Well, it's funny because we were supposed to record, you know, at 11, and I realized at 11 that I didn't know where my laptop was. And so I started looking everywhere because when I'm here at home, I'm working on my desktop.
Right.
And so I started looking around for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. It wasn't in any bags or anything that, you know, I normally, if I take it somewhere. And so I started trying to, like, retrace my steps, and I'm just like, I have no idea where I put this. And then I was like, wait a minute. I did Black Friday shopping in bed on Friday night. And then I was like, did I? So I just like went through everything in my bedroom that I could possibly have reached from my bed. And then that's when I found it.
That's awesome. So you actually did find it when you were looking for it versus just like, my feet are cold. Oh, here it is. So
that would have been more comical. What the hell is this doing in here?
That's awesome. Okay, phew. It turned out I did have one more thing. Have a lovely day, four words, and your laptop discovery. Now yeah. I'm done. I feel so fancified.
I know. I think that's solid. That's solid. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week. We will talk to you next week. Again, my name is Emma Loggins, editor-in-chief of Fanbolt.com.
My name is Shekai Mickelson. It's a total cop-out.